The following is a handwritten letter from Mary Townsend Seymour to Mary Ovington on April 21st, 1919.
My dear Miss Ovington, am enclosing Miss Milholland answer to my letter of March 15th. I have not received any word as of yet from Miss Paul asking her to make a public denial of her alleged statement. Since Miss Milholland's letter reached Monday of this week, have sent Miss Paul a second letter urging her further to declare herself publicly. Will you write Mrs. M. Toskin Bennett, 22 Forest Street, who is a member of our branch executive board, NAACP, and is a woman who does not know the meaning of the word expediency, and is very near Miss Paul, was a picket and stands firmly on the Negro getting a square deal. A dear friend of Miss Milholland, too. Also, Mrs. Thomas N. Hepburn, 352 Laurel Street, who is chairman of the Connecticut branch of the Executive Board of the Women's Party, a Southern woman, very democratic in some things, but not to be trusted too far on the Negro question. She is a politician in every sense of the word. Mrs. Edward Porritt, 63 Tremont Street, a splendid type of Englishwoman, who was instrumental in placing me on the Health and Recreation Committee of the State Council representing the NAACP, and is now, though the council is fast being dissolved by our legislature, being reorganized and will continue as a committee under another name now under consideration. Through this committee, we have been able to get two Negro representatives for girls' work on a city recreation program which is being worked out, and for which an appropriation has been granted in city's budget within the month. Also in the house service work, we have seen the dire need of a visiting nurse for months and have finally gotten one of the girls appointed. Miss Susan N. Upshur, a Hartford girl educated in our schools, graduate of Mercy Hospital, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 1915. Miss Arnold, who is acting secretary for our branch, our secretary, whom it has seemed, has never taken the interest in our work. We would have been glad to have her, having gone to Boston for a short period, everything being left to us who know that the work must be done. Miss Arnold has been and is a great help. Everything has, since our president, Mr. Bell, went overseas, been on my shoulders, and I do hope you realize all that it must mean to fight in silence, hatred, and petty jealousies, pitting against all such uphill work that counts with telling results. The association is so dear to me. My people, although they do not always understand, cannot afford, now at any rate as never before, to lose a worker. So discouraging, though, it often becomes, your love and untiring devotion is a constant incentive to help me in every way I can in this great work. At our luncheon at the Allen House the day the prison special came through, in pledging, I said, I pledge $5 in the name of the Hartford branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, urging that the Susan B. Anthony Amendment without compromise be allowed to stand. Miss Mabel Vernon, National Secretary, who was asking for pledges, stopped the confusion by clapping her hands and said, I want you all to hear this pledge. Asked me to repeat it, which I was very glad to have the opportunity to do, very slowly, with emphasis, for I realized full well what the quibbling of these women would mean at this crucial time. To our women of the South, who already are suffering more than they can easily bear, there was great applause, really more than any other at the meeting, and hundreds were pledged. I had scarcely sat down when Miss Sue White of Tennessee jumped to her feet, bubbling over with enthusiasm and waiting for the applause to cease. She said, As a Southerner woman, I give endorsing that pledge. Lucy Branham followed with the same sort of pledge, although hers had not the same ring of sincerity as did Miss White's. Miss Mabel Vernon said, "We need money, lots of it, to educate public sentiment to make that possible, but we can do it." After the luncheon, I found Miss White and talked with her a few minutes. She is very frank and fearless. She says she knew numbers of white women in the South who believes as she does, but do not dare express their views. She told me one thing that I could heartily agree with. She knew when the black women of the South got the vote, they were going to use it to better advantage, as far as their race was concerned, than the colored men had in all these years. That, of course, opened various lines of thought. But knowing the white women feel the same way about their own use of the ballot in comparison with the use of the ballot by their men, I could but appreciate the thought. You will see this circular. Did they not use them in New York? And I saw but two here. Will you kindly return Miss Milholland's letter when you have finished with it? Hoping you are real well, and I have made the situation clear as far as I know. I am very truly yours, Mary T. Seymour. P.S. Do not hesitate, dear Miss Ovington, to call on me at any time to do whatever you may see fit. M.